bitch piece bankroll, showing how to do it. Baby going crazy, even getting straight to it. I done causing many fights and I'm fucking on stories. Catch me in Atlanta, no security with my jewelry. Found out I'm rich, my baby mama talking soon. Another bitch telling lies on the pussy like she's screwing me. Welcome back to another episode of Tiara Tuesdays. It is your host and favorite scholar, Tiara, and I'm so excited to welcome you all back to another segment of Tiara Tuesdays. I want to first start off by thanking last week's guest, Gigi, for coming on the show and offering her insight on the mother and daughter dynamic, as well as parenting and just different aspects of being a parent. I actually want to start today's show off with some comments from that episode. I had a listener comment, Gigi seems like she has a good handle on parenting. Thank you, listener. I definitely agree. I look forward to having her help me when I drop my baby. Another listener asked, is Gigi a reporter? She sounds so official. How do you know her? Actually, not only is Gigi a nail vlogger, as she told us about last week, but she's also my best friend's mom, which obviously would make her like a mom to me as well. So she's not a reporter, but I'm glad to know she sounds really official. I'm sure she'll like hearing that. Another listener said, I really like Gigi. I'm so glad you guys enjoyed having Gigi on the show. I'm actually going to have more guests this season. People are very excited about TR Tuesdays, and a lot of people want to join the conversation. Next week, I actually will be featuring another guest, whom is my older sister, Lanisha, or AKA Lonnie. She likes to go by. And we're going to talk about being in foster care, how we got into foster care, what it was like for us, and how that has kind of altered our perception over the world ultimately. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear that conversation. You definitely don't want to miss it. If you didn't catch on by the title, well, let me state plainly, your girl is pregnant with her first baby. So this Tiara Tuesdays, I will be introducing the Pregnancy Chronicles. So today I plan to tell you all about the horrors of being pregnant. I'm calling it the first trimester blues, although I am currently in my second trimester. I am 22 weeks, which makes me 5.5 months. I want to tell you all about it, though, because, nobody could ever prepare me for pregnancy. So many people, like, you know, make it seem like it's great, including these Lifetime movies that I watch. It is not great. Spoiler alert, it is really hard. So I can't wait to tell you all about it. But first, we're going to, of course, learn what important event happened today in Black history. And I'm excited to report that today in Black history is becoming a fan favorite. I'm so excited that you guys like these because I love doing them too. I learned so much. Today in Black history, that is August 10th, 1968, Shirley Chisholm became the first African-American woman elected to Congress. Of course, this was very monumental for African Americans, being that it was the late 60s and African Americans were very undervalued. This opened so many doors for African Americans to join politics. So thank you so much, Shirley Chisholm, for being the first to be elected. Like, that's really cool. We're going to take a quick break, actually, and we will be right back with the Pregnancy Chronicles.
What a lovely way of saying how much you love me. Having my baby. What a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. I can see it. Your face is glowing. I can see it in your eyes. I'm happy in knowing that you're having my baby.
Yes, might seem corny to some, but I actually really like that song. I'm going to start off Tiara Tuesdays, Pregnancy Chronicles, the first trimester blues, actually with a story about that song. So funny enough, although I've never been pregnant before, I always had an idea of how I would tell my partner that I was pregnant.
So, I got this idea from The Big Bang Theory. If you know me personally, then you know I absolutely love that show. Happy, sad, when I'm mad, I love that show. It's fucking hilarious. So, on an episode of that show, Bernadette, you know, she was going to tell Howard, who's her husband on the show, that she's pregnant. So normally Bernadette, you know, she gets Howard's breakfast prepared for him before he goes to work. So she incorporated a way to tell him into her regimen to help him get ready. So he goes to the fridge and there's a sticky note on it. And she wrote "we" on the sticky note. And then, you know, he goes to the coffee maker and she had wrote a sticky note saying "R." And then Howard's like, "If you're trying to get me to make my own breakfast, it's not going to work." And then Bernadette's all, "What do you mean? What can it stand for? We are groove. We are family. I got all my sisters with me." It was hilarious. And he opens up the spoons and it says "pregnant." So I'm like, ooh, I like that. That's a really clever way to tell your partner that you're pregnant. It's like a fun way, putting sticky notes everywhere. I also thought about, you know, maybe putting like a baby shoe or bib or something in a box and giving it to him. But instead, I took the Big Bang route. So, oh, my partner, when I told him that I was pregnant, or we were pregnant rather, we were in Seattle still. And obviously, I know what time he comes home from work, but I had already texted him, like, you know, like, oh, tell me when you get here, you know, like, I have a surprise for you, basically, I told him, right? So I had put some blue and pink confetti on the floor that I had purchased from Target, because obviously, I don't know if it's a girl or a boy, so I put the pink and the blue confetti, and then I wrote sticky notes. Now, I had always planned to do the same thing Bernadette did and say, "We are pregnant" on three different sticky notes. However, I have a one-year-old niece and she came to visit me in Seattle. And upon her visit, of course, she pooped and I had to change her. And I asked my partner to assist me with this and he told me that he doesn't change diapers, that that's a woman's job. Oh yes, please DM me about what you think about that comment. Yes, he definitely said that. DM me right now at TRL Christopher on Instagram. And I was like, excuse me? No, like this is both of our jobs. Like if I'm not here, you're just not gonna change the baby. So I incorporated that event into my sticky notes. So he came home, I had post-it and different sticky notes throughout the house. "We are changing diapers together," right? So I put these on a bunch of sticky notes. So he comes home and I have that song playing because I was recording him. You know, obviously I want his reaction. And he's like, "I got that song, Having My Baby." And he comes through the door and he's like about to just come right in. I'm like, "Baby, no, I have a whole thing set up. Like, look at the door. There's a note on it, you know, on the outside of the door. And it says "we." And then he's like, "Oh, what's this on the floor?" You know, sees the confetti, you know, but almost like really walks through. And I'm like, "Wait, you're passing my signs. I had the R sign on the fridge," you know, and so forth. So then he laughs, right? He's like smiling. So then I give him a bag. A pregnancy test. I took 5 pregnancy tests, guys. Yes, because I was very much in denial. So it's like, here you go. We are definitely pregnant. And yeah, he was very excited. He was actually more excited than I was. So that is how I'm starting off today's Pregnancy Chronicles with that fun story. So if you are not pregnant, think about some clever way to tell your partner, because, you know, we can just be so creative. Don't just say "I'm pregnant" or "we're pregnant," you know, like make it fun. All right. Today on TR Tuesday's Pregnancy Chronicles, the first trimester blues, I want to talk about different aspects of being pregnant, such as pregnancy symptoms, graduating while pregnant, working while pregnant, trying to find an OBGYN, being innovative while pregnant, like how I'm writing my book. I just started a business in the middle of COVID. What I expected in this pregnancy versus how it's actually been. So we're going to talk about all these things. Let's start with pregnancy symptoms. A lot of people, you know, think that morning sickness is like only in the morning. Like you hear about that a lot. And it's really not true. Unfortunately, It's all day sickness is what they really should change the name to, not morning sickness, all day sickness. During the first trimester, oh my God, I felt so nauseous. I literally just could not keep anything down. I was very low of energy and I just felt tired all the time and I wanted to just sleep all the time. And it just was extremely hard for me because I'm a very productive and driven individual. So it's just really hard to like almost be on bed rest is for me was my experience with the first trimester. It's, you know, it's you're just in bed all day because you just have no energy to do anything because, you know, you can't keep anything down. And obviously food gives us energy and nourishes us. So it was really hard dealing with that. I'm so glad to report that it's gotten better now that I'm in the second trimester, but I'll be doing a whole nother podcast on that. Okay, so I also, while I was class of 2020, I didn't graduate until 2021 officially. Like, I received my bachelor's degree in the mail, of course, in about June 2020. However, I didn't get to commemorate it, and I actually never thought that was possible. As you heard on episode one of this season, but UNLV blessed us with the graduation, one in which I do feel cheated on because they didn't announce properly that I am an honor student, but I digress. And so I thought it was really fun having my baby inside of me as I was walking the stage because it was like something that we could share together, you know? So that's definitely been a pro. However, even though I had already graduated with my degree, I couldn't help but hear my grandmother in the back of my head. So when my sister graduated high school, my grandmother screamed, "She made it with no babies," right? So my grandmother didn't come to my graduation because she didn't want to fly because, you know, we're still dealing with this COVID nonsense and she's up in age. So understandably, but I could just hear her like, you know, like she made it with no babies. And I'm like, well, technically I did make it with no babies because I've already received my degree, you know. So there was that. Working while pregnant is extremely difficult because you just have no energy. You're just really so lazy. But I mean, obviously you have to. So I would say I worked up until the fifth month of my pregnancy, and then I stopped working, but I really didn't work like consistently the whole time. I didn't even start working until month three because I just was like so nauseous, and obviously we're still in COVID when I found out, so really nothing was open anyway, and then I just definitely don't want to wear a mask, like work with a mask while pregnant. It's just so hot. I live in Nevada. And it's just already so hot already. You literally, pregnancy, it just takes the life out of you because you literally feel like you're going through menopause. Sometimes you're hot and then you're cold. You don't want to wear a freaking mask on your face. You know, I'm praying that this is all over by the time I push this baby out. I am due December 9th, 2021. However, my Seattle OBGYN told me that my baby can come anywhere from December 1st, you know, to the 9th. And they don't always know, like, this is my first baby, but I obviously have six godchildren and none of them came on the day that the doctor said. So, you know, there is that. But I definitely don't want to wear a mask while giving birth. Birth is just, oh my God, it just seems just, close to death is what they say. Like, giving birth is close to death. And I've almost died twice already in two different car accidents. I still don't feel like I'm prepared, but we will get through it. With that said, I want to transition to how hard it was for me to find an adequate OBGYN. It was very hard. So when I found out I was pregnant, I was already 5 weeks. And I go to the OBGYN in Seattle. And they confirm, they're like, yeah, you're pregnant. They have the heartbeat. And I'm telling you, this place was really nice. And I'm on Medicaid, you know, Medicaid insurance, just the government insurance. I mean, I'm like, this is a really nice facility. This OBGYN to this day still emails me, you know, about my pregnancy and about care. Once I found out I was pregnant, I told my partner, basically, like, we have to move. That was really pretty much it for us in Seattle because I just honestly was not very happy in Seattle. I didn't have any friends. And I'm like a social butterfly, and I tried really hard to make friends, but it just wasn't happening. So I just really refused to go through a lonely pregnancy. You know, I was really depressed there. So I told my partner, like, I'm moving. Either you're coming with me or you're not. Like, basically, I refused to have a baby here. And so I really wanted to move back to California because that's where I'm from, and that's where a lot of my family is. They still live, of course. And so, obviously, we didn't move back to California. My partner just refuses. He's like, oh, it's too expensive to live in California. We get more for our money in Nevada, which was a fair trade for me because I have a lot of friends here. So I do have a strong network of friends here, too. And I already had a job here. So I was like, you know, whatever. We'll move back to Nevada. Trying to find an OBGYN in Nevada has been hell, to say the least. It's really been hard. I just have not found adequate care. The first OBGYN we found was an OBGYN I had already been going to because I had already lived in Nevada for 5 years before I had moved to Seattle. I already knew like what doctors, or I thought I did at least, what doctors that I wanted to go to. I already had care established here for dentists, doctors, therapy, and such. So I thought it was going to be easy for me. Also, the place that I was going to, my sister, she was going to them as well, and she really liked them. So I just knew that this was it for me. No. I go to this appointment, and I've been to this place a million times before for OBGYN, and after 2 hours of waiting to be seen by the doctor, the receptionist suddenly asks, could she take my picture for the file? Listen, I don't know about you guys, but I don't go to the doctor, dentist, or therapy appointments in picture form. You know, I'm just going like whatever. Because honestly, before COVID, I shower after the doctor, the dentist, and therapy. Because other people sit in those seats, you know, spreading their germs and such. So, like, why am I going to do my hair or makeup or put on a cute outfit? None of that, especially if I'm about to get an exam. Like, definitely not. So, I would inform the receptionist how I was, you know, just unwilling to take a picture. I just wasn't prepared physically to take a picture. You know, I just didn't look my best. And those pictures stay on file for a long time, I'll have you know. And so she was like, oh, they must take a picture for my records. And I just didn't understand the logic and how this correlated with me meeting this doctor so she can, you know, establish care with me as my new doctor for my baby. Like, I just didn't understand how that correlated with they wanted me to take a picture. And so I was like, okay, I'll take your picture, right? Because, you know, we have the mask on anyway. They're like, oh, no, you must take your mask off. Now, at this point, I definitely don't feel comfortable. You know, we're in the middle of this COVID nonsense. I'm pregnant. There's all these other women around. So we all have had to take our mask off to take a picture. So we're exposing ourselves to take a picture. No, thank you. I refuse to expose myself to take a picture for you guys. And really, that should have been that. I mean, per HIPAA law, if you don't feel comfortable taking off your mask, nobody should make you, right? They were like, no, we must have this picture or we can't complete the visit. So I go, okay, well, I'll just, you know, find another OBGYN because I'm not taking off my mask to take a picture. And I didn't want to take one anyway. And so honestly, didn't think it was going to be that hard to find OBGYN care. Boy, was I wrong. Now, do I regret not taking my mask off to take this picture? No. No, I do not. Because ultimately, I feel that everything happens for a reason. And clearly, they weren't meant for me. And if a picture is the biggest priority over, you know, establishing a proper birth plan for my baby, then I don't really want them to be helping me deliver my baby anyway because their priorities aren't even intact. You know, so moving on, I go to my third OBGYN. You know, I'm thinking these people are going to be great up until I have three visits with them. And there, I have had three different doctors and residential doctors. Let me just tell you, I'm like, is this Grey's Anatomy? I don't want residential doctors. I feel like you're like experimenting on me. Like, I don't want you experimenting on me. You know, I want a real doctor. Also, every time I would go there, every doctor would tell me different information. Then it came to my appointment on July 1st, 2021, and they were supposed to reveal the gender of my baby. And I always, you know, like I had planned to have a gender reveal, but, you know, it was extremely hard finding out the gender without proper OBGYN care. And so comes July 1st, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to get the results emailed to my three best girls. But no, July 1st comes and there's a whole new residential doctor. And he informs me how he's been out for a while and he's playing catch up. And I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, I get the catch up doctor, right? Where's the mustard? And so during this appointment, he doesn't do an anatomy ultrasound, which was what I had planned. And they don't let my partner come back, which was just opposite of how they had been practicing. Like before in the other three appointments with the other three residential doctors, they were allowing my partner to come back. So this time they're like, oh no, he can't come back. And we're just doing a checkup. They did nothing for my baby. Long story short, they checked my heartbeat, my weight and my blood pressure and sent me on my merry way. And I just was really disappointed. Next appointment, July 31st, 2021. They're supposed to do the gender anatomy, but no, they do another checkup. So at this point, I'm just tired of not only the misinformation I'm getting, but I've now met with four different doctors who have all told me different information, and I still don't know the gender of my baby. And at this point, you know, I'm 20 weeks and I'm supposed to know. Seattle, they had informed me that I could know at 10 weeks. So, you know, me and my partner have just been very antsy. So instead of this being like a fun pregnancy experience, like I say, some women depict, it's just really been hell, honestly, to say the least. My third book will be all about this. It's like, you know, because I feel like I went to the library, you know, my friends have given me books and all these books, they make pregnancy seem so great, or they just overload you with information. This is why I need my three book deal, because my third book, I'm going to tell you the real, no, this is what it's really like. It's really hard, you know, especially if you are on Medicaid, like, you know, I mean, I've always, like, I never thought I would be pregnant on Medicaid, honestly, because I've always known that I was going to be wealthy. I'm so goal oriented and my drive and ambition is so attractive to me. It's just not even funny. So the fact that I had to deal with Medicaid, I'm like, this is why I have to be wealthy. Because if I was like, you know, freaking, I don't know, a Kim Kardashian or something, you think she's dealing with these different OBGYNs? You think she's dealing with residential doctors? You think people are telling her misinformation? No. No, they're not. She's getting the proper care that she needs. So I just can't wait to reach that wealth that I desire, that I strive for, that I work towards, so my baby can have the best care, you know, going forward. But I digress. On to doctor number four. So then at this point, I'm like, I'm just going to see a midwife. So, you know, I'm going to have a home birth because this is just like, you know, really hard. So I meet with the midwife and I'm really considering this midwife. I mean, it was very much affordable. My only issue with it was that they're holistic, so you don't get the epidural. And so I'm like, oh, you know, society has trained us to think that we need this epidural, that the pain of childbirth is just unbearable without this, right? So that's what I have in my head. And I tell you guys all the time, we have to affirm what we want. So I'm sure if I set my mind to, like, I can do this without the epidural. My mom had me naturally. I came out in 5 minutes, she said. She didn't have time to get an epidural. I was ready. When she got to the hospital, I came out. I was ready to take this world on by storm. Okay, so I pray daily that my baby is the same way. I mean, I don't know if, you know, he or she will come out in 5 minutes, but I'm praying less than 6 hours. I pray that every day. And, you know, I know it's going to hurt, but I just pray that it's quick, it's uncomplicated, and my baby is healthy. You know, 10 toes, 10 fingers, 2 eyes, 1 nose, 1 mouth, you know, all that regular shit. So it's been hard trying to find doctor number 5 because I just want to explore more options. You know, I didn't want to completely give up on having my baby at a hospital because, you know, having a midwife, having a in-home birth, that's scary as well, you know. But like I said, my only real con with it was the epidural. So at this point, now I'm looking at it as I'm interviewing OBGYNs because I'm not satisfied with the care. My man is feeling like Seth from Knocked Up when they meet like 20 doctors and she finally decides and he's like, oh my God, are you, this is the one? You have no idea how many of you we met, because no, it's really like that. It's really hard to find care. Some women are lucky and they just have great care from the beginning. And let me just tell you, you are blessed. Having a baby in COVID just really makes it hard. And just like I said, finding good care, it's hard to come by. It literally makes me feel like I should have gone into the healthcare industry because my customer service is superb. And so I just feel like, why are you in healthcare if you don't want to demonstrate that same, you know, level of customer service, care, compassion, you know, decency, which a lot of these healthcare physicians seem to lack. But anyways, I know that was a mouthful, so we will take a break, and I will be right back with TR Tuesdays. Yes, Tiara is having a baby. Welcome back to Tiara Tuesdays presents the Pregnancy Chronicles First Trimester Blues. All right, so I was just telling you guys about the horrors of finding OBGYN care. Okay, so back into that, I am calling doctors now trying to find another OBGYN, and they're telling me like, oh, I'm too late in my pregnancy because I'm 5.5 months. And so I'm like, well, this is crazy. Like, you should be able to transfer care if you're not happy, right? So I came up with a clever way. DM me at TRL Christopher if you want to know that clever way, just so I can make sure you're listening. And let me know that you want to know what I did. I won't say exactly what I did, but I found a clever way. So long story short, I met with the fifth doctor. Didn't like them. That interview didn't go well for me. But the sixth doctor was the charm. My clever way worked. My therapist tells me, you're always coming up with all these concoctions. I really am. So finally, I have care. Finally, I got my gender anatomy done. Finally. So I'm so happy because now my best friend has planned a gender reveal party for me. So I'm so excited because on the 14th, I'm going to find out what my baby is. So you'll be hearing about that on the next Pregnancy Chronicles. Whether I'm having a boy or a girl, I want a boy so bad. My man is just very outdoorsy, number one. And, I just, you know, a boy will just really align with his way of life. He loves to do motor sports. He loves to go hiking, kayaking. He loves to shoot guns. I'm not into any of that. I am a girly girl, to say the least. I don't even go camping. I hate bugs. So, I see a fly and I spaz out. So, I'm really hoping for a boy for my man. I'm also hoping for a boy because, you know, as you guys have been listening to these mother and daughter conversations I've been having with these guests, I have a lot of trauma with my mom, right? So I have a fear of passing that trauma down. Now, I've told you guys I'm in therapy. I'm very open about my mental health issues that I have, my depression, my anger, my resentment, the hate I have towards my own mom and all that. And so my therapist assures me that I had the perfect guide of what not to do. My best friends, they told me that too. Oh, your mom, you know, she was horrible, so you're going to be great. And although I'm very organized and there are certain aspects of me, you know, that will be great for a mother, there are certain aspects I have to pray about with God because, you know, I have no patience. I get so angry. Like, I'll just lock myself in the room, like, please leave me alone. I'm a Pisces. I need my time to myself. And you cannot do that with the baby. So me and the Lord, we will get through this. Me, the Lord, and my strong support system. So also, you know, like I said, the first trimester of having my baby, it's, you know, I had no energy. So it was like really, like, it gave me a lot of self-doubt about my future and what I would personally be able to provide to my baby. Because, like, for the past year and a half now, I have been relying on my partner, who is an electrician in the union. And I've just been kind of content with that. Even though I've just graduated with my second degree in communication, I just kind of fell off, you know. But I have gotten motivated now, and I have been working harder than ever on my book the last month, I'll say, you know, because it's been very hard to write. Like, some days I want to write, but physically, I just don't feel like sitting at my computer desk or laying in the bed or just thinking. I just want to literally sleep. You know, I have no energy. So I'm so happy to report that that has changed. I have just, like, you know, really have been motivated to start my own business, which I did. You guys heard last week, it's called Problem Solved. And I just really am about expanding myself and just being the best self possible, especially because I'm going to have a baby. You know, my mom, even though she had a job for the most part of my life, you know, she was a medical biller, or she worked at the car rental place as a manager. And so it's like, oh, you know, what does your mom do for a living? Oh, my mom's a medical biller, you know, like, I mean, you know, that's cool and all. But, like, my baby is going to be able to say, my mom is an author. My mom is a business owner. My mom is an entrepreneur. My mom has no limits. Like, my mom is so powerful and inspiring. Like, I have to be that for my baby because, you know, my mom, you know, she didn't, like, personally instill it in me, but just kind of, like, by just observing her work ethic, it made me, like, a hard worker and just kind of want my own wealth. At a very young age, I was 10 years old when I went to look for my first job, 14 years old when I got my first job. And so it was like, I don't know, it was like I suddenly got an epiphany that my whole, like, you know, because I told you guys about being a stripper. Once I discovered stripping, you know, it was like I thought that somebody was going to come save me, like that I wasn't going to have to work as hard as I'm working now on my book and on my new business, Problem Solved, Las Vegas. Like that somebody was going to come save me, that I was going to get a sugar daddy. And although I met a few good sugar daddies, none of them, you know, expanded me. And also, I didn't have the same drive to open this business that I have opened, or to write my own autobiography and to seek this 3-book deal and to actually actively be working with an editor. I didn't have those visions. Instead, I thought, like, oh, I'll just have this man take care of me. And so what I realized lately with this pregnancy, with starting this business, with finally gaining energy now in the second trimester to actually work hard on my business and on my book and on my goals for my baby, is that I had been looking for myself this whole time, like, that I am going to save me, that I am going to create wealth, that no man is going to be able to give me the wealth that I so desire and want. And that when you actually work towards your own wealth and that you do it for yourself, nobody can take it from you. Nobody can say they gave it to you. Nobody can say they have helped me, you know, get any of this, not even my man. Like, my man was telling me yesterday how I'm so powerful and, like, he's so lucky to have found me, you know. And I was thinking, like, because sometimes I feel like he doesn't see, like, he takes me for granted. You know, he doesn't even listen to my podcast, I tell you guys. But I just feel like I am powerful, you know, like, and I can do anything. And I'm so excited for my baby to be able to see that. So while I am scared to have a girl, because I'm scared to pass down those traumas, I have that will in me to break the cycle, you know. And that I'm living proof that I can do anything. I had my godchild over here all summer. And the other day, he was playing a game. And he said, this level is impossible to beat. And I heard him. And I said, what'd you say? And he said, I said, this level is impossible to beat. I said, in this house, there's nothing that's impossible. The word possible literally has two words in it. I'm possible. I told him this. That means that you can do anything. I told him that nobody in my family went to college. My mother didn't even graduate high school. She had my sister at 17. Nobody went to school. It, you know, by that definition, it wasn't possible for me to go to school. But then I told him I graduated with 2 degrees, debt-free, at the top of my class, because it's possible. You can do anything. Like, there was no money for me to go to college, no support. My mom never gave me $1, never bought one book, but I am living proof that it's possible. And it's so funny, I was telling him that that's actually the name to my first book. It's called The Impossible, and I'm gonna have a hyphen between the I'm and the possible in the word impossible, because I am living proof that I'm possible. And that with this first book, you're going to read it and you're going to see, man, I need to press drive on my life. You know, I need to put this car in drive. I've been having this car on park. I have been parked on my life, and it's time for me to drive. But I'm kind of going off now. All right, let's take another break on TR Tuesdays, and we will be back with more right after this. I'm a woman in love, and I love what's going through me.
Didn't have to keep it, wouldn't put you through it. You could have swept it from your life, but you wouldn't do it. No, you wouldn't do it. And you have enough, baby.
I'm a woman in love, and I love what it's doing to me.
All right, we are back with TR Tuesdays Presents Pregnancy Chronicles First Trimester Blues. So now you guys have learned all about my first trimester experience. And I know that there are so many other things that I have forgot to mention. But like I said, DM me right now on Instagram and let me know if you'd like to know anything else about first trimester with being pregnant, because I'm going to tell you the real. I'm not going to sugarcoat it like these books do. We're going to change up some things this TR Tuesdays. I am going to now end each show with I am affirmations. But before we do those, I have to tell you where to find me. Please DM me on Instagram at TRL Christopher. That's TIARALCHRISTOPHER. Or don't forget, I'm on Apple Podcasts too. All you have to do is type in TR Christopher. Please leave me a comment on there. I love it. Don't forget that next week we will have a new guest, my sister Lonnie. We'll be exploring the foster care system, so you really don't want to miss that conversation. As you heard me mention earlier, I have started a new business, Problem Solved. We are based out of Las Vegas. We serve the entire Clark County area. I am the founder of Problem Solved. My partner is an electrician. He is a handyman. He specializes in flooring, ceiling fans, electrical wiring and installations, Tesla charger installations right now are at our highest demand, light fixtures, outdoor playground structures, you name it, he can do it. He can build it, he can fix it, he can fix any problem. And I am your receptionist, your marketing coordinator, everything else, because behind every good man is an even better woman. Let me tell you, I'm his Michelle Obama for sure. And so if you do need any electrical work done or a handyman in Las Vegas, or you know anybody that does need one, we assemble furniture as well. We mount TVs. We do everything. Please find us on Yelp. All you have to do is type in Problem Solved. And make sure you do your location is for Las Vegas. We also have a Facebook. All you have to do is type in Tiara Blair. That's T-I-A-R-A Blair, B-L-A-I-R. And add me on there. Message me as well if you're interested in contracting with us or being affiliated with us. We are always looking for other people that we can work with, such as if you specialize in drywall or stucco. Please hit us up, because we definitely love to collaborate. Don't forget that I don't own any rights to any of the music used in today's podcast, past podcasts, or future podcasts. But I'm glad you guys are liking my music selection. You know, I used to want to be a DJ when I was in high school because I do feel like I play really good music. So I'm glad you guys like that. If you're not following me on Instagram, then you are slipping. Add me right now, TRL Christopher. And don't forget, you can also find me on Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Anchor, and pretty much anywhere you listen to your podcast. And of course, donate to the cause. You see your girl, I'm working hard. So donations are accepted at anchor.fm/TR92. All you have to do is click the support icon and support me. You can donate as little as a dollar, honestly. I appreciate all donations. I've yet to receive one, but that's okay. I'm very hopeful. Okay, today's quote is one that I really, really love, so I'm going to read it real slow for you. Once a person's mind is expanded with an idea or concept, it can never be satisfied until going back where it was. Oliver Holmes. Once a person's mind is expanded with an idea or concept, it can never be satisfied with going back to where it was. Oliver Holmes. Okay, so I received a myriad of views on my latest I Am Successful podcast. Miss Promise, who was a guest a few episodes ago, she shared that I should incorporate some I Ams at the end of each segment. And I agree. She found those to be very positive. So, moving forward, NTR Tuesdays, we are going to now end each episode with I Am. But I'm going to make them tailored to the topic that I discussed that day. So, today's affirmations are specific to pregnant women during their first trimester. I want you to repeat these affirmations when you wake up, before you go to sleep, to affirm a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby. Let's begin. I am well rested. I am nauseous free. I am healthy. I am energetic. I am thankful for this healthy baby that grows inside my healthy body. I am supported in this pregnancy. I am blessed. I am thankful. I love you, baby.
and to raise a family. If there's any doubt.